Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the lastminute.com Group Investor Conference Call. I'm Selena, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Nicolò Bossi, Head of Investor Relations of lastminute.com Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining today's full year 2016 lastminute.com earnings conference call. I'm Nicolò Bossi, Investor Relations Officer. Before we get started, the usual cautionary note, in these conference calls, we may make certain forward-looking statements regarding business results. These statements are based upon a set of assumptions about key business drivers. Changes in these business drivers could cause results and vary materially from our expectations. The call will last about 30 minutes. We will now report on mission, strategy, and key messages with our CEO, Fabio Cannavale, and on full year 2016 figures with Francesco Guidotti, our 2016 CFO, and Stefano Biffi, who is taking the lead of the finance department from now on. Please, Fabio, if you want to start.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone. So we are very pleased to be in this call and to announce our results. We reach and serve our customers globally. We are following the presentation starting from page 4. I will tell you when we change page so everyone can follow it. So we are present focused on Europe, as you know, on the western main four western five western European countries. But we are serving our products in nearly 40 countries. We have the service in 17 different languages, and we handle every year 10 million passengers with a team of 1,200 people that are spread in 12 countries, where the main office we have are in Chiasso, which is our headquarters with around 400 people. Then we have Madrid, London, Paris, and Munich and Bangalore as main office. So this year we are on track, we go to page 5, we are on track to fulfill our objective. So as it was our objective of the year, we recovered the profitability. As probably most of you know, we last year we had the first loss in our group in the history because of the acquisition of Lastminute that had we pay with a loss instead of paying cash, because I remind that we pay only £1, but we had a strong loss for the first year. This year we recover the result. We have a very good growth in meta and media business with double-digit growth. We are focusing very much on the mobile, and we are developing our comprehensive office and even in increasing that with some selected acquisitions. So if you look at the result of the year, we had in the revenue, we grow from 250 million to 261. And in that is not included, at, the valuation of pound that at exchange parity, we would have 6.5 million more in revenues. Comparing that, we will have even a better growth. At level of EBITDA, we regain a profitability aligned with our target, with a adjusted EBITDA of 28.6 million from a negative one of last year. And again, also here, this is not including about almost 2 million of losses on the currency because of the devaluation of the pound. And also, we have to say that in the last quarter, given the good result that we faced last year, we heavily invest in, not performing marketing in for both JetCost and the lastminute.com brand with X-Factor, where we put around almost 5 million of extraordinary cost that, of course, is already fully paid in the year because we had a very strong year. On the net financial position, we have a net financial position that decreased from last year of about 12 million, is at 26 million, so it's
still very strong that allow us to look at the new acquisition. The main difference is for 13 million of extraordinary expenses. Our CFO will illustrate better later. And this is due mainly to the share buyback and some the acquisition of Wade. About the share buyback, I tell now is that we discuss in the board about how to, let's say, distribute value to our shareholders, and we believe that the most efficient way is to continue it and increase the share buyback instead of giving dividends. So at the moment, we had approved 2 years ago to a share buyback of 10% of the capital. At the moment, we have already done for 7.5%, so we have still space for the next month for 2.5% of share buyback that we are going to do from tomorrow. And then we will going to propose to the next AGM to add another 10% of buyback plan for the next years. Because, again, we think that as we strongly believe on the result and the future of our company, that is more efficient at the end to do a buyback instead of distribute dividends. If you go to page 7, so we see our KPI that the main, we have a very strong, let's say, growth in the KPI that we are looking at. So, first one is mobile. Mobile, as you all know, is really key in our business. Our users are more than 50% of the search are from mobile, and we have this year we achieve 28% of the booking done by mobile devices. This is a very good result for us. We are above industry average, that is around 21%, and even more important for us that we increase of 100% versus 2 years ago, 30% versus last year, the share of mobile booking. And this, even if we think we have to do a big work in the future to even better increase all our mobile sites and applications, we are getting the results of the work we've done so far. Then we have the meta. The meta is a very good trend in the industry, as probably more of you know that there are also very interesting transactions in the meta sector in this year with the sales of with the transaction of Skyscanner and Momondo. We strongly believe in the meta sector. This is the reason why we bought 3 years ago JetCost, who was a very successful acquisition. This year, again, we almost doubled the revenue in the meta. We decided in the meta to maintain the same profitability level of last year, around 10 million EBITDA. We see that the other competitors like Momondo and Trivago, that we have all the data because they just did the IPO, had almost no profitability. We think that the profitability we have is good, is around the 25% EBITDA margin. And so the decision for last year and also for the current year is not to increase the absolute number of profitability, but spend all the resource we have in the meta to grow and so to push for the growth of the meta. Then we have, of course, around 23 million. We, as we said last year, we are really focusing on the customer and also the media and content part. So we have reached now over 23 million of daily search. We have more than 50 million of unique users per month. And we generate with this more than 500 million monthly ad impressions. That is, we also generate with a very good deal, we transform this in cash, let's say. So if you go to page 9, we are trying to, in this part of the presentation, to synthesize what is our strategy and next step and the main thing that we are working on. So the mission of the company is we aim to be the relevant and inspiring travel company committed to enrich the life of the travelers. And this is really our key. We are, as we go to page 10, we are in a very good sector. the millennium. So travel is a very fast-growing industry. And even in the new generation, the millennial, the main, desire, the objective for their saving is the traveling. It's more important for them travel than hiring a new car or purchasing a home. And this is really what makes this industry very interesting. And also there is an interesting shift of people going from material needs to experiential needs. And this is also why we are moving our strategy on that. 20 years ago, people were looking at the basic services, like renting, taking a basic hotel room or a flight. Today, the experience it's much more important in all in any travel. Then, it's very important that going to page 11, the customer needs and the behavior are changing. The first big change that everything is looking every day is the smartphone. At the end, there is a continuous interaction with multiple devices of everyone. So there is we cannot focus anymore and divide between mobile, tablet, and desktop. This is an old definition. We see that 65% of our customers start on a smartphone, their experience. 84% of our customers at least have a touch point during all the phases of the experience with the smartphone. So it's very, very important that there is a multi-device experience, and we need to have a seamless experience and connecting with our customer throughout all the device. So for this, we are focusing and working a lot on having a single sign-in, so to have the people log all the time they are with us, so in order to recognize we have the people, the same user when he's in different device. And on all that, what does it mean? What is the implication for us? First, that is very important having this kind of approach with the customer, multi-device approach, and also multi-device following the customer to all the device. And then this kind of experience make that our customer in general, the travelers, are looking at booking and experiences or even much more in the spot with local people, with local experience. And so we think that our company is very well positioned to offer this kind of experience in all the kind of the travel, not only in booking something, but in all the travel journey. So to offer that, our business model is evolving accordingly. We are now at page 12. So we have different, part of the business with the focus on the customer, and we manage different properties at the end to give the best service to our customers. So from one part, we have the online travel. Online travel is where really the people can book and find the best services, where we have both the OTA and the meta. But then this we manage together with the part that especially we bought and we are developing this year of the Content Hub. So we bought WIN, that is the leading social travel network in the world, and give a lot of content, and we are in the business of producing content for our users. And on the other hand, we have also the media. That media is very important because it is the opportunity to give to our users relevant information about the service they need. And at the end, we think it's not really important how we monetize the information, the value added that we give to the customer, but it is really important to be relevant to them. So then, when we give a service, a suggestion that is really matter for our users, then we can monetize it because we sell a service or because we sell a lead. So we send our customer to a partner who is selling them something that they are looking for in that moment. So if you look at page 13, We do the matrix of, let's say, how could be the travel world, where it's not only to sell services, but is to inspire and suggest the way to for the customer and to be relevant and different in the travel industry. So let's say that we have different positioning. The traditional OTA are in the left part of the picture, and where we normally used to offer travel products in a push way, while you have other, let's say, site, our competitors, our company, that are more in the giving experience, giving the guide, giving the flash sales, but at the end, with the technology that is putting together and the customer in the center, all the players are converging in the same point, where the center is the customer, and we have to offer to the customer a full experience that is done by travel product, experience, content, special offers, and we should do that. To do that, at the end, we have to start, as we see in page 14, we try to connect with travelers beyond just the booking. So we were starting, if you look at being a functional company, and we started 12 years ago being a functional company finding flights for our customers, we were focused on searching and booking, the part to be really a transaction and functional company. We are moving now to be more an emotional company that is not only focused on the searching and booking part, but is focusing on the upper funnel, as you call, that is dreaming and inspiring when the customer has to understand, maybe look a video to understand and to decide what they're doing. We are experimenting on lastminute.com, a new way of looking for vacation that is totally by inspiration and not my functional facts. Then, of course, the customer has to search, and on that we are covering with the meta search. We have to booking, of course, there is the OTA. And then there is also the part of to be, when it is not only there, to offer other services and to be ready to interact with the customer with our app to give always the best services also on the holiday. And then diminishing the holiday when they come back, sharing the information, using the way, the network, the travel network to really share all the information. So being engaged in all the experience and having an emotional experience. So going to page 15, at the end, what does it mean? That we want, we have to give to the customer whatever they need, anytime, anywhere. To do that, of course, it should be multi-device, always love with our customer, and this will be pre-booking, post-booking, pre-trip, post-trip. So, an experience in all the parts. If you go to page 16, we should provide people with a comprehensive valuable offers. So it means that we have at the end a customer in the center that we call audience, and offer to this customer all the kind of services, from flights, to car rental, cruise, all the vacation, the flash stays, we have the Uber mobility, and also lifestyle, that is where we put the service that we call like ticket of theater, of spa, and things like that. And so it means that we have a comprehensive value. I mean, this for us is a very, let's say, strong challenge. This is also how is reflected our company. If you look at the numbers of our company compared to the competitors, if you check, for example, the one that are traded, we have a very similar structure of a variable cost of marketing and variable cost. We have a much heavier structure of fixed cost, leading to, at the moment, a lower profitability of around, for this year, over 10%, but less than from other competitors. This is, we think, is for two reasons. First is the strategy, the challenge that I have illustrated, that it means that we want to offer a comprehensive way of traveling. And this, of course, costs. This is a big investment, because if a company has only, let's say, flights or only hotels, have a machine that is much leaner.
And this is so we are investing on that, that at the end is around 20, more than 20-25% of our cost. The fixed cost is a huge part of our cost. It's a big investment, and this is looking for the future. The second is that, of course, having both last minute, we did a big work this year of cost cutting, of efficiency, of effectiveness in the machine, but and especially in the part of system, we are done a good jump, but then we still have a lot of room of improvement if having this machine that really perform well. So it means that we can still improve, we think, in the size. We did a lot of investment, and of course, growing the size of the company, we can have, and having more effective, let's say, and efficient our machine, we can, in the mid-term, decrease the incidence of fixed cost on the total revenue. Our plan is not to cut the cost anymore, but is more to grow the revenue without increasing the cost. So if you look at how we do that, at the end we have a multi-brand architecture because, of course, we grow not only in internal but also with acquisition, and we have a different position of different services, and we believe that we are a good integrator, so it's good that we keep and we have different brands that are specialists in some country or products. And on these, we are also looking for the next acquisition. We have a very active M&A team. Unfortunately, this year, last year we did one acquisition that is Wayne. We did in January rent of a company that with a right to buy that is Gattur in Italy. On the other hand, we lost two acquisitions that we were looking very carefully. At the end, we couldn't achieve that. One is the public information, is Unister, that at the end we offer, let's say, 5 million less than the winning bidder. This, I think, it means that we work a lot. Sometimes in acquisition you can succeed. Sometimes your expectation evaluation is lower than the competitors. And so I think it makes a rational operator as we are, we don't want to buy at any cost, but we buy when we think that we can add further value. And so this we are going on this strategy, and we have internal resource and bank that are ready to support our growth. I just before giving the word to Francesco that will give some more details on the numbers, I just want to say that a key person that is helping me and is really managing all the day-by-day activity of the company is Marco Corradino. Marco Corradino is the co-founder of the company. That from 4 years till to last year, he was looking at other initiatives. Then he came back last year in January to manage the media part, and he did an amazing job that we really turned around everything in this part. So starting from December of this year, as we already announced to the market, is taking the responsibility of being a COO of the company, so Chief Operating Officer, with the responsibility of all, let's say, the machine, and is fully committed to really execute all the strategy that we, define together and we think will bring to further success of our company. So now I give the word to Francesco, page 19, as he will illustrate the results more in detail.
Yes, thank you very much, Fabio, and good afternoon to everybody. In reality, I just wanted to introduce, I'm pleased to introduce to you Stefano Biffi, who joined the company on the 1st of February and who is taking the lead of the finance department starting from now. I am pleased also to introduce to you to this set of results which are exactly in line with our expectation and which are, able to confirm the capacity of the company to completely work around in a little bit more than 12 months very difficult merger. So I leave now Stefano to introduce numbers for closing 2016.
Good afternoon also from my side. On page 19, you can see how the company is geographically positioned. And the thing is that after 1 year, this year, the geographical exposure is much more balanced. This means that we have a clear risk mitigation factor. That means that we passed from a situation in 2013 of 90% of the total business concentrated in South Europe and flight only, while now flights count only 50% and meta passes from 4% up to 14%. So this is a huge and important factor. On the next page, on page 20, you can see the P&L picture up to EBITDA level. And here we can start from the bottom situation, seeing that we passed from an EBITDA of last year of close to minus 11 million up to a positive one of 23.5. That means an increase, a total increase of 34.4 million euros. That is a huge and important achievement. These results derived from a hard job done on the all lines of the P&L, starting from revenues, where we have worked on focusing on profitable bookings only. The rest is connected to all the lines of the cost situation. In particular, on the marketing, we have implemented a new marketing model, and we have optimized the marketing spending. And this means that we have decreased to close 10% the total value of marketing, passing from a marketing cost ratio of 48.8% up to 42.1% of this year. We also have worked hardly with the integration and creating efficiency with the lastminute.com acquisition. And one of the most important effects you can see in HR costs. HR costs have decreased of 13.3% in absolute values, passing from 23.6% of HR cost ratio up to 19.5%. So in continuing on the P&L and passing on the page 21, you can see that after EBITDA, we have everything under control, means that we don't have any surprises and everything is going in the right direction. The only thing that we have to underline is that we have an increase in taxes, but this is, of course, due and linked to the positive increase the result of this year. We have also to take in consideration that in this area we have GBP effect, devaluation effect, counting close to 90% of the total financial effect on P&L. If we look at the financial situation and perspective on page 22, we can say that we have a strong and significantly positive cash position, despite a negative trend this year from the net working capital dynamics that has offset the great EBITDA result. This is mainly depending from the volume and decrease of the gross travel value and due to the fact that the net working capital is negative. On the other side, we have CapEx that are in line of expectation, but there are some extra budget investments that we have done and that has been partially mentioned by Fabio Cannavale before. And we are speaking about M&A actions, activities, share buyback, and an extra investment of marketing that is located in the last quarter of the year, just because we had to make some tests on offline initially. Without this extra budget, the situation would have been substantially better, of course, and in line with the previous year. I do pass.
Okay, we try to be short in the presentation. We pass the word for the question. We really thank you for the participation, and in special, I thank you, as I said before, Marco Corradino, to join back the company, to be fully supportive and fully committed to, to help me as a friend, as a co-founder of the company, to really turn around the company and give a bright future to us. And really, the results we are seeing are very encouraging, and also the dedication of the team.
We are also hiring a lot of new people, nice people. We took the occasion, let's say, of the acquisition and the rationalization to really also reshape the team, having the right kind of skills we need for the new challenging. And on the other hand, I also thank very much Francesco Guidotti, that was here for 2 years, 2 key years for us, because he just joined, say, after the acquisition of Last Minute, and it was key really to achieve this big, say, consolidation and rationalization. I just mentioned that only in the administration we had a big office of more than 100 people in close to London that we totally shut down, and we now manage everything in administration from our headquarters in Chiapas and the people in Madrid. And so Francesco was really great in doing this job, and now in December he's decided to say look for other adventures, and it was very nice to give us the right timing. And in the meantime, we find Stefano, that we are very happy of the insertion. They work for these 3 months together, and I think from next Monday, suddenly, Francesco will not anymore with us, but I thank him very, very much for the support. So now is the time for the Q&A, so please you can sign to do the questions.
The first question is from Mr. Nicolò Pessina from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. I will have 4, if possible. The first one is on the gross travel value. I'd like to know if you are happy today with the level of profitability of the transactions, or there is more rationalization to do, so what we can expect in terms of performance at gross travel value level going forward. Second question is on the organic growth of the OTA business. I calculate for 2016 overall a decrease of approximately minus 6%, so I want to understand if my calculation is correct and what are the key drivers behind this performance. Third question, on the labor cost, I see an average salary per employee dropping by approximately 20%, so I just wanted to have more color on this trend. And last question is on the impact of a net working capital. You have explained to us what has happened in 2016, so I'd like to know what we can expect in the short mid-term, if there will be other further impacts on the net working capital from the reduction of the gross travel value. Thanks a lot.
Yes. So let's start from the gross travel value. So gross travel value, let's say that this year we rationalize, first point, while our main KPI was a gross travel value, we defined since 1 year that our KPI is audience. Because for us it's indifferent if at the end we sell ourselves or we send the people to other side. I give you just an example of the flights. In the flights, we have 1.4 billion of gross travel value as OTA, and we have around 800 million of gross travel value as a meta. Of course, what is happening is that as the customers prefer to go to meta, we are shifting this from one value to the other. But at the end, what is important for us is to make revenue. So if the people are coming to us to look at flights, the meta, or OTA, it's indifferent. Important is the customer is happy. So this is as a general trend. That is the reason why we look more at revenue and let's say users rather than GTV. In particular, then if you have to go to GTV by product, we will say that in flight, as I said, there is a shift between meta and OTA. And this is a shift that we think will be even more. Is we have also experimented to shift some of our brands, like Viaggiare and Viajar in Spain, from OTA to Meta. And this, is, I think, is a trend that will go on in the years. But Meta is very profitable, so we are not worried at all about that. Then we have, if you look on the other products, it's clearly we have some products that are going very good, where we see there is a very bright future, that is, in particular, tour vacation, that is both the tour operator package or our own package, the dynamic package, and cruise. On this product, we see there is still a huge room of space in Europe where 70% of the booking in this sector are still offline, and we think we are very well positioned as a company in this sector, having as a competitor mainly Expedia or On the Beach in UK. Not many companies in Euro have the same level of technology and integration in this sector, and also the results are very encouraging because we are growing very fast in this count, in this product, especially in the core market for us, for this, that is UK and France, where we are growing very much last year, and also this year we have very good results on that and with good profitability. Then on the other products, we have also hotels. Hotels, we inherited a lot of the business of the hotels from Rumbo and from Last Minute. Hotels only, standalone, is a business very difficult to compete standalone because at the end there is big competitor like Expedia and Booking. And so what we did this year, we cut a lot negative marketing expenditures on hotel only, and this is one of the main reasons of the decrease of the GTV, because at the end is a decrease of that. By the way, also in hotels there is a shift between being OTA and meta, because we are selling a lot of traffic in the hotel only to the meta, to insert media, and we have a partner, and also we are developing our own technology on that. So again, it's very similar to the flight. At the end, for us, it's indifferent. It's important to give a value added to the customer, and then if it is selling ourselves the hotel or sending to third parties, at the end, it doesn't make a difference. The important is that the customer is getting value from us. While we see, as you said, that in the more complex product, it's very important to have a comprehensive and unique point of sale where we can give a good service to the customer. This is to answer your first question. Coming to the second question, yes, I think I almost answered the first part. So the growth of .eight, yes, we think we have still some space of rationalization of not profitable booking, especially in the hotels, but we see that there is a very good growth of especially the vacation and the dynamic package for this year, the 17. Then we say number three is the drop in the salary. Yes, let's say that it's given to two main factors, let's say three main factors, two in one direction, one in one other. So the main factor is we didn't at the end reduce the number of people, but really we changed the kind of people. So we had a strong reduction of people in UK, where salary is very high, and also there was activity that we rationalized and we did in another way, and we increased a lot the staff in Spain and in Switzerland with the other kind of resources. This is the first reason of the salary decrease. The second one is that the pound, of course, as the highly paid people are in UK, the pound having decreased 15% this year, there is a decrease in the people. The third one is in the opposite side. We did a very important agreement this year with the trade unions and all the authorities in Switzerland. Now we have a minimum salary that, by the way, is very high for standard South European country. As a minimum level, we pay 3,300 Swiss franc as a minimum salary. This make us very competitive to attract talent, not only from Switzerland, but also from Germany, Italy, Spain, all around Europe to come to work with us. And this, of course, had a salary increase in per capita in Switzerland, but as you saw, at the end, overall, the total salary was decreased per capita, so it's, we had a good effect, as you noticed, on that. Then, for the working capital, I give the word to Francesco that will explain better.
Yes, in reality, the answer related to the evolution of net working capital is very linked to the evolution of gross travel value. So, the strategy of profitable growth in the marketing has had as an effect the decrease in gross travel value, which has as an effect the decrease in net working capital. The other point that I want to outline is that due to the fact that we do not see a similar progression or similar trend for 2017 as regards as the gross travel value, we do not expect a similar effect in the net working capital, which, according to our estimation, should be slightly increasing compared to the year before. So the answer is net working capital has decreased in 2016 because of the strategy on the top line, but due to the fact that we do not expect any similar trends for 2017, as well, we expect a substantial stability also in the net working capital evolution for 2017.
Excellent. Thank you so much for all the answers.
The next question comes from Mr. Felix Remmers from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. A couple of them from my side. First will be on the share buyback. You mentioned that you could buy up to 1.4 million in shares. That's roughly 10% of the company. Are these shares which you acquire intended to be, you know, deleted once you acquired them at a later stage? And if yes, would that not, you know, represent a bit of an issue given that, you know, the shareholder agreement holds close to 50%? Then on jetcost.com, in my view, it's a bit, you know, that's one of your main assets. How fast could that grow going forward and in 2017? It has seen a very good growth in 2016, and, you know, how do you see that progressing in next year? Could it, you know, be again like 50-100% growth? And then maybe on a more on the short-term outlook, why didn't you give a guidance for 2017? I understood last year, okay, you were a big restructuring, you're focused on profitability now. I have the impression that, you know, the business is much more stable. Why didn't you give a guidance so far for 2017? And maybe you can share some thoughts, you know, how January and February were in terms of performance.
Yeah. So first one about the share buyback. No, we are not planning to delete the shares. We use some of the shares for the long-term incentive plan of our employees. We are still, let's say, with a big part, 600,000 are for the share buyback. That is around 3.5%, something like that. Then we still have more than 50% of floating shares, so we think that the floating part is enough, so we don't think there is – by the way, this is a two-year plan because, as you know, we cannot buy the shares so quickly, but at least we plan probably to buy, I don't know, maybe 5% this year. I think it's feasible. That is likely to give a nice, let's say, dividend in another way. So about JetCost growth – yes, JetCost is growing, is still growing in this year. Our plan for JetCost, as it was for last year, is to maintain the same EBITDA in absolute term, around 10 million, and to grow as far as we can. As you know, many other metrics like Momondo or Trivago are not so profitable as JetCost, so we think that it's good to have a good balance. Of course, we could also decide to go to zero profit and grow even more, but we prefer to have a balanced situation as we had in the past, and so we foreseen to, let's say, continue the growth with but not exploding for the moment the EBITDA. That is a lot also related to the competitor, as long as competitor like Momondo invest 91% of the revenue or Trivago 100% of the revenue in marketing, at the end we are very efficient because we are investing about 75% of the revenue in marketing, so we have 25% of gross profit, so we think this is a good way to go on. Then for the guidance, yes, we are giving the guidance at the OGM.
The reason of that is that we think we are very pleased that last year we gave a precise guidance that we could maintain. We had, feedback from the investor that they like to have stability and do like to have very precise information. So we prefer to, we have already, of course, an idea of the guidance of this year, but we want to arrive with a number that we can really totally match it with it this year because we want to be very credible in the market. This is the reason why we are confident, as we said, the result of the first quarter that, of course, we know it's good in line with our expectation. We are revising all our forecasts to have a good guidance in 1 month, more or less, is at the end of April.
Okay. Maybe one follow-up question on jet cost. I see, you know, on Alexa that this website is performing very well in the U.S. Is that true? And if yes, how do you explain that? I mean, I would have expected, you know, that website probably to perform much better in your core markets. And just on January, February, did you grow organically there?
Yes, you're very analytic, thanks. Yes, US is the third market for us. It's going very well last year. For, to give you an example, JetCost, of course, is a cash cow in the main market, and we were losing money in US last year. This year, we are making money in US, so it's an investment that is paid. Of course, is how much you do that. So last year, we were more or less break-even in US in all the year, in the first 6 months, we lost money. This year is the third market and is making money. This is, I think, a synthesis of how is JetCost. It's a business very light, fortunately, the meta. So what we are doing at the moment is really we unified also in organization. Every place outside the core market, the core five market, is managed mainly with the meta mentality. So first we go in the market being a meta because it's much easier to be effective being meta rather than be OTA in the new markets. And so we, by the way, JetCost is going very well. All the market, the growth is there also this year. Of course, a little bit less than last year because it is not foreseeable to have 100% growth every year, but more than double digit, and so it's we're very satisfied of that.
Thanks.
We have a question from Lea Dittersson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions, please. First, can you give us some colors about the synergy you expect to make with Gato this year, and if you're confident in the potential acquisition of the company in 2000, maybe 2018? And the second question is, you announced a new share buyback that maybe could represent about 18 million euro. I wanted to know that if you could not have used this money to make further acquisition, what is your view about the actual consolidation in the market and what position you want to have in the future? Thank you.
So first about Gartour. So Gartour, let's say that at the moment is only a rent of a company. So we are, let's say, managing that and, of course, using all our tools. That's what I see is good, that when we compare with the big digital giants, maybe we feel that they will be better. When we go to a traditional company in Rome, we see that there is immediately huge margin of improvement. So more than synergy is really a knowledge transfer. And so this is what we are doing. And we hope, as we have a preemption right, that we can buy this company. Then about share buyback, let's say that about the amount, we say that this 80 million, as you said, is in the next 2 years. We have no cash constraints. It's rather the opposite. Whenever we go to pay to talk with the investor, they complain about our balance sheet structure that we have too much cash. So this is total is, as we said, is a way to give a sort of dividend. It's an alternative way with even less constraints. So we have full support of the bank to do acquisition. As we said, we did an offer to buy this company I can say, because it's a public information, we offered 70 million in Germany for Unister. At the end, we lost this not because we didn't have money, but we decided the price, the correct price was that, someone offered more. And we had full support from the banks to do that. So we have, at the moment, we don't see any constraints to do M&A activity. We have a very strong team. We have a couple of that are really in a very advanced way that we can maybe announce in the next future, but you never know, you know, is an acquisition. And we are very, let's say, also conscious of rationale. So we don't have, we are not forced to do acquisition. We do only when they are very good. There was another one last year that we lost because really we offered, I don't know, 25 million. They sold for 40. We had a totally different view on the value, and so we decided not to do. A part of the consolidation, yes, we are in the process of consolidation. There is a lot of opportunity in Europe. We are looking at them very carefully, and we know that, as I think we demonstrated in the past, that we did, so we act, because we did a lot of acquisition in the last year. We perform, I think, well in all the acquisition, because at the end we gave result, rationalization, and synergy. This 40 million of, let's say, better result that we have with the acquisition of Last Minute, I think, is a demonstration that we are good in doing that. And so we are ready for the next step. I don't remember if there was a fourth question. No, okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Nicola Pessina. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon again. Just a couple of details. The first one is on Italy. If I see currently, the performance in the market was down double digit in the second half of the year. So I'm wondering if there is any specific reason for such a negative performance. And secondly, if we could have a number of bookings for the entire year 2016.
So first, Italy, yes, we didn't perform very well in Italy. Maybe in Italy, you know, when you rationalize and focus, sometimes you maybe we could have done some mistakes. Probably we have under let's say, invest in Italy. And also, that's also very tricky for us. As you know, we are in Italy, we are Meta and Ota. And our main customer in Meta is eDreams, that is also our main competitor. It's not very easy to rationalize and decide exactly which is the right level and also the, let's say, transfer price between the two. So we notice, as you notice, these things, of course. So we are correcting that. This year we are reversing this trend because we are sending less traffic to eDreams and we are investing more. As you know, probably we have noticed, we have started with a campaign TV in Italy in March. We saw the data of March are very encouraging. Having paid the campaign, we are having a very good result, let's say, without anticipating anything. So we are very positive of reversing of Italy. That probably was a mix of contingent situation, maybe some also some strategic choice that was not easy to take between these two. Then the second question is the number of booking we don't display anymore, because it's really we want also to guide the market on which is our strategy. So what we always tell is that it's not only external, but it's also internal. To understand, we are transforming a company that was a pure transactional company, focused only in the booking. We want to forget the booking in a way, but we want to focus on the customer. We were a booking-based company where really what was matter is the booking, even if we were done by the same customer. Today, even internally, we do a lot of communication to say what we really care is the customer and the user. And this is what is the number that we communicate internally and externally. This is a very important change of focus for us.
Okay, very clear. Many thanks.
Thank you to everyone.
There's a question from Kevin Tracy from Oberon Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I have a question about the non-flight OTA business. It sounds like part of that in the package holidays is growing nicely and is profitable, while the hotel-only business is shrinking. And overall, that business shrunk in the second half of the year. I'm wondering if you expect growth in 2017.
I will say yes. In general, yes. It's, as you say, it's a mixture of the two, but looking at the numbers we have at the moment, yes, because we are investing a lot in all the dynamic package. Tour operator, by the way, is going very well in France. And well, in the main country where still there are active tour operator, cruise is going well. So yes, I would say that this year the overall growth of the not hotels part overcome and is higher than the eventual shrinking of the hotels. And so we are going there.
Okay, and secondly, you talk about this kind of gap between your profit margins and your, I guess, public peers, and you noted you're not going to be cutting costs, but hopefully growing revenue while holding costs consistent. I'm wondering if, you know, over time, do you expect to, you know, close the margin gap between your peers, or do you, you know, see your company as kind of structurally having lower margins?
No, we think to build the gap. I mean, my model is a company that are growing and building long-term things. So if you look at the history of company like Trivago in our sector, is not really good for having big profit, but it's, I think it's a good success story. And of course, the main model for us is Amazon. That is the best company in the world from my point of view. And Amazon is not a company famous to have a very high profit margin, but it's, I mean, I think the results in long term show that are the best company. So this is the model, of course. Then everyone should have the model. Then it's, then one thing is to have a model, one thing is to perform, and that's what we try to do. So that doesn't say that in the long term we don't want to have profit. By the way, we have profit. The point is that we think that we have an ambitious design to become one of the travel leading company in the country where we are in Europe, so UK, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. To do that, we need to have even a bigger, dimension, and we are looking also with acquisition for that. It's clear that we have a level of fixed cost that, of course, we can maybe rationalize, but not in the term of reducing this cost, but having that is more effective, having more products. We are much more focused to have better websites, better mobile sites, better application, rather than cutting costs that we don't need in this moment. But with this kind of structure, that at the end is a very heavy structure, we have 1,200 people, we have more than 50, 60 million of this fixed cost, we think we can build a long-term competitive advantage, and we can even double the scale, because if we buy and we have or we merge with company with a similar business, as we did already twice in our history with Last Minute and with Rumbo, at the end you can have, as we had in Last Minute, a big change. So we see, as we had this 40 million cost cutting in the integration of Last Minute, we can do something similar in the order of 40, 50 million if you find some targets that can help us to do again the same history. So this is more the direction that I see. So maintaining the same cost structure, but improving the effectiveness and reducing the amount in percentage, increasing a lot the revenue through internal organic growth and acquisition.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, that was the last question. Would you like to conclude the call?
Yes, as there are no other questions, I thank everybody, and we conclude this call, and we will do the next one in this summer for the half year as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.